Just wrapped up the Isaiah Stevens Show. That's fun, man. I love this portion of the programming that we do now, these NIL radio shows. They're so much fun learning about them. This week, we talked to Clay Millen, Dalen Kuntz, and Isaiah Stevens. Such a fun time. Hope you guys are enjoying those programs, and we'll get more questions in on those next week. Time for the Lunch Rush. Top stories trending nationally. NBA's Adam Silver says, no doubt Kyrie Irving is not anti-Semitic. I don't know why that read wrong, like the headline of it read wrong for me for some reason, but they sat down. They talked. Adam Silver said he has no doubt that Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving is not anti-Semitic after the two had what the NBA commissioner called a direct and candid conversation. Of course, Adam Silver is Jewish. He discussed Irving in an interview with the New York Times earlier this week, and I don't know. I love Adam Silver. I think he's done a lot of things right. But he even said, hey, probably took us too long to do what we did as far as acting and getting out and speaking about it. But, I mean, this is kind of what you need to happen, I guess, right? Is there's Kyrie saying it's a misunderstanding on Twitter or whatever. I don't know. But then the two hash it out, get together, and you get to get where he's going. Still a strange situation to me, the whole thing.
It is strange, and it's... Hopefully this is the end of this kind of situation with Kyrie and we can just move past it. But you saw guys like Kevin Durant and even LeBron James come out and kind of defend Kyrie a little bit that, you know, yeah, this was a big misunderstanding and we need to be more clear with what we mean next time. But again, kind of reiterating that they don't believe Kyrie is anti-Semitic.
He retweeted a documentary that had bad stuff in it and he didn't say that he was for all of it. Strange situation. Hopefully it can be put behind everybody, but we shall see. Chargers waiving their 2019 first-round pick, defensive lineman Jerry Tillery. I just think that the reason I'm bringing that story up, isn't this adding more to the Sean McVay's theory that the draft is not the end-all be-all? Because how many first-round picks have we seen, just recent picks? 2019 wasn't that long ago. That we're quickly going, yeah, if that guy doesn't live up to first round hype, then we're moving on. I think more and more teams are looking at the draft as saying, you know, it's luck of the draw. It's a crapshoot.
No, and really with the draft, outside of the quarterbacks, and just looking at this year, there's four or five quarterbacks that are probably going to be highly ranked. But outside of that, there's maybe 15 first round players that are legit first rounders. Outside of that, that's on your scouting department. That's on your coaches and your GM and your scouts to make sure you get the guy that you want to get. And really, and we see with teams that just give away their draft picks, they don't see a lot of value in it unless you know you're going to get a guy that's going to start for you.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's a mix of impatient leadership, I suppose, but also we're not, you know, if you're not going to work out quickly, we got to figure something else out. You're taking up space. We got to do something.
Also, are we patient enough with these young kids?
And that patience is going out the door. I remember a time when Aaron Rodgers could sit on the bench for 4 years and learn the process and then come in. Now it's like...
Well, Jordan loves doing it.
Yeah. True. And again, that doesn't mean it's all going to work out and it's all... But that there used to be a time where a quarterback, you know, a rookie quarterback, unless they were just really, really good, was going to get the time to sit back. Now we don't wait. We're not messing around anymore. Clayton Kershaw nearing a one-year deal with the Dodgers. Trying to get that one done. Would bring the future Hall of Famer back to Los Angeles for a 16th season. Can you believe it's already been going on 16 seasons for Clayton Kershaw? This has got to be his last year, right?
For Rocky's sakes, yes. Please.
Please be.
Move on.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you. The Dodgers are so stacked, it's not going to matter. I mean, it's just not.
It doesn't matter in the playoffs.
No. No, it's just, damn, playoffs? What are those? What are the playoffs?
Well, I'm saying the Dodgers, they have all that talent, and
yeah,
they can't win the World Series.
No, but trust me, I would give anything to have all that talent and go to the playoffs.
Like, just to go.
Just to go would be beautiful. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be fantastic? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I got to say, you brought this to my attention during the break. Damani Leach, the Broncos president, tweeted out earlier a uniform survey. We've heard a lot. He tweeted, Broncos country, we've heard a lot of feedback about our uniform combos recently. I know, the stripes don't align. but we want to hear more. Season ticket members, be on the lookout for a survey about what you would like to see us wearing on Sundays. Give us your thoughts. I love that. I mean, we talk a lot about uniforms and whether we like it or don't like it. Listen, it's not the end all be all. It doesn't freaking matter. It's a uniform. But Damani Leach is asking for feedback, and he's connecting with the fan base. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and this doesn't. I looked at the survey, and it's not, oh, what are we going to wear next weekend or a couple weeks from now? This is potentially a complete rebrand for the Denver Broncos in terms of logo, in terms of uniforms, all kinds of stuff. And they're asking the fans' perspective on it, what you want to see this team look like.
I used to hate the D with the bucking Bronco in there. I used to hate it. Now I love it. Like, I just love that. I wish they could go with, because that orange, I wasn't crazy about that orange, but a little bit of a lighter orange or something. Oh, that's a possible, was that somebody that, like a fan put that together?
Yeah, a fan put it together. It's the old school D with the darker blue, and the Bronco inside looks more modern. It looks like the actual logo a little bit more. I kind of like it.
That's legit, dude.
Bring back the retro modern logos.
The one on the right. I like the Bronco on the left. If you can send that to me and I'll retweet it. The one on the left, the Bronco's better, but the one on the right has the old school kind of look to it.
Do you like that lighter blue?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't look like Chicago?
I think I do. I loved the new, like, I still call them the new uniforms when they got them in, what, 97? And I loved it at the time because I didn't like the old look. I was ready for a change, and I was young.
The brown and yellows? Or
no, the, yeah.
Bring those back.
I actually have a brown and yellow Broncos hat. It looks just like the Wyoming logo. But I kind of look back at John Elway's days when he was in that orange and blue. There is something about it. There's got to be a combo. That's a pretty nifty combo there. I like that one. What do you guys think? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I personally like when Elway first started, he said it was Orange Sundays or whatever. And so they would wear orange. That was the uniform. They would just, the orange tops. And I thought that was a great move. And then the fans started really buying into it. And then it just kind of stopped. But I like having that. I think it develops a stronger home, like a home crowd, hometown advantage kind of deal. But I think this is a great move by Damani Leach to say, hey, we're reaching out to our season ticket holders to see what they think. All right, let me retweet this. That's pretty sweet. Go check it out on my Twitter. I'm retweeting this from Denver Dork.
Someone's going to get famous today.
Yeah, I'm going to tweet it right now. I like the one on the right. You guys go tell me what you think. At Whole Show, I'm retweeting this dude. Sweet. That's pretty cool, man. I would be down for that. What do you think? Which one do you like better?
I can't really get on the light blue because I just wasn't a Broncos fan around then. I like the darkest blue.
And you weren't.
You have to make yourself look different than Chicago. I like the D logo. It's just kind of iconic for them. But yeah, I'd like to see some a modern take on the retro uniforms, maybe throw some stripes back on there, figure out the stripe alignment, because if you want to wear blue pants, it's fine. Just make sure it looks good. Look good, feel good, play good. Is that the old saying?
It's the old Dion thing, right?
Maybe Russ can get, you know, his sponsorship on the jersey or something. Sure, he'll have an input on this.
Hey, sometimes a uniform change does do something. You know, I mean, the Broncos couldn't get over the hump. They lost to the Jaguars in their old uniforms. And then the next year they bring out the brand new horse head, the new logo, the new colors, and they go and win a Super Bowl.
Well, there's a whole contingent of Miami Dolphins fans that want the throwbacks to be permanent. And I love the throwbacks. It's just it's not my era of football.
That Dolphins want their throwbacks to be permanent or
yes.
Like NFL throwbacks?
They want the Dolphins throwbacks permanent.
Oh, those are terrible.
What?
It's the worst logo in
the
sports.
The ones they wore on Sunday
it's a
night?
Dolphin.
With a helmet on.
No.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's a dolphin. It's
but he
a
has
dolphin.
A football helmet, so it's not just the dolphin.
It's a dolphin.
The dolphin that
it's
plays football.
Snowflake. The dolphin.
And Snowflake back.
Is it, who is the doll? What, who is it now? What's the name?
His name is TD.
Okay.
For touchdowns. Because we score a lot of them. Hey.
Well, it's good because your logo is not good. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. My Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. What grade would you give George Payton at this point? Grading him on the regular, you know, regular scale, A, B, C, D, or F, randomly in there. I feel, I'm going to say a C. He was at an A before the Russell. He was at an A before the Teddy Bridgewater thing for me. Didn't like that move. I don't care if that was a Vic Fangio. He wanted Teddy. No, no, no. You do not let Vic Fangio lead you in finding your quarterback, Mr. Defensive Mind. So I thought he was an A until that happened. That started to whittle away to me, and then he dropped down to a B. Then you made the trade for Russell Wilson. Okay, I think that's an A move. It seemed like it at the time. Hasn't worked out, plus the extension, plus the hiring of Nathaniel Hackett. I think that brings him down to a C. The Bradley Chubb move, I guess we'll find out, but on paper it looks good. But I'm going with average right now. He was on fire when he started, and now he's... is it fair to say the shine has kind of wore off a little bit? You know, you're talking about the Draymond Jones situation and whether or not he's going to be a long-term Bronco, and is George Payton the cause for that? Draymond Jones, this was a very meh response, like non-committal. I'm not going to be here. I'm here now. Here's Draymond Jones the other day talking about it.
I don't know. Maybe it happened. If you lose a player like that, I mean, the money's going to open up. But money is going to open up. You lose anybody on the contract. So, I mean, it is what it is with that. I view my standing with the franchise as this is Dre going to year four. That's all I can say. I'm here right now.
He's very much not committing to saying he wants to be here, giving the Broncos any kind of power. That could be a power move. That could be an agent move saying, hey, don't act like you love it here. They'll take advantage of it. Don't act like you want to be back. Don't talk to the media about it. Just be very matter of fact. Maybe that's what he's being told to do. But he's become a pretty important player for Denver.
And we'll see. We'll really get a first look at this defense without Bradley Chubb against the Titans. And what better test than the best running back in the league?
Yeah.
To figure out your defensive line can hold up.
Got picks coming up. Got picks coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Got to get over the 500 mark. That's what this weekend is all about. It's a big one. It's a big weekend, really. Big weekend for a lot of the teams that we talk about on the basketball and the football side of things. Eastside Chris Brady, could you please replay Noob's walk-off from yesterday? It was awesome. What was Noob's walk-off? I don't remember. Oh, the Wyoming students' moms paying for tuition. I don't replay it. I can reread it.
You can go back and listen to it on the podcast on 1310kfka.com underneath the whole show.
Underneath the whole show. Just find the whole show. We got all of our stuff podcasted. Dude, that was a great, great hour with Isaiah, wasn't it?
That was really good. He was very, very well-spoken, very comfortable. He liked the music. That was awesome.
Well, yeah, you guys connected a little bit, and he was telling you about some of the tunes he liked. A lot of guys, hey, what kind of music? Whatever you want, man. Isaiah's like, no, I have some ideas, man. I have ideas for you.
Oh, it sets the whole segment. It sets the mood of the show and kind of just relaxes you. I like the R&B stuff a little bit. That was fun.
Man, he's, like, comfortable. Like, he's chiming in out of the break. I absolutely loved it. These are going to be some great shows that we put together. Noob says, you know what the first sentence that a Wyoming student says after graduating? Would you like fries with that? Noob's keeping it alive. The border war trash talk is alive and well. Can the Rams figure it out? We'll talk about all that. We have Katie Wingy from Altitude TV coming up to talk to us about the Denver Nuggets, so we're looking forward to that. Stay tuned. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Rourke from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
That's a good one. That's a good one. On the First Advantage text line, First Advantage Bank text line, 888-530-0043. Hey, noobs. It's for noobs, apparently. A Wyoming starting center, a starting guard, and a starting forward are all in the car. Who's driving? A cop. Okay.
That's funny.
Okay. Good old clean fashion. Good old fashioned clean fun right there, man. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer about some of the injuries stacking up for the Broncos. Certainly KJ Hamler. That's a rough one because you did kind of feel like he clicked with Russ last week, especially on that deep ball. So to not have him at this point is tough. He's listed as questionable, but just did not sound, from what I heard with Hackett and everything, did not sound like he's listed as questionable. It sounds like a little bit worse than that.
Yeah, Broncos leading the league in hamstring and ACL injuries.
Yeah, what is that about?
I don't know. I saw this morning. The NFLPA filed a complaint or a motion with the NFL to get rid of synthetic fields.
Interesting.
So the NFLPA wants all grass fields in the future.
I've heard it. More and more players coming out saying the same thing, that they want grass fields, that, you know, they're hard on their bodies and they're causing more and more injuries. Certainly for the Broncos, they have a grass field, but still, like, it's
the best grass in Colorado.
Yeah, it is. You know it is. But I just, it's something's going on here. Something's not right. Because we've had
strength and conditioning coaches. Staff.
I don't know. I mean, it's everything you look at, too, is hamstring, 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 hamstring. Knee, hamstring. Justin Simmons is questionable. He was limited as a limited participant yesterday in practice. So injuries are mounting up for the Broncos, and that's a rough one. Already a tough situation with Hackett and Russell Wilson. You have been hit by this injury bug in a very big way. So it's going to be, hey, listen, that's a tough game coming up against Tennessee. You need all your guys, and even then, I don't know. I mean, Tennessee, we talked about it. They have a ridiculously good run game, and Derrick Henry is going to be, Tanner disagrees with me, but yeah, I think if you can not let him go off for 150, that's, the guy can. He can do that. He can go off for 200. I actually think the Chiefs, you know, 100 yards, it's, still, 100 yards for anybody's good. For Derrick Henry, it's not like that's kind of an average game for him.
No, and the way Derrick plays, he picks up his yardage in chunks. He'll pick up 6 and then 8 and then 10, and then you get to the third quarter and he breaks one off for 30.
Yeah.
And then he'll do that again in the fourth quarter, and he just stacks up those chunk yardage. But he's a guy that you're going to have to tackle him all game long because he only gets stronger as the game goes on.
Yeah, that's the thing. And it's like, if you can, I know 100 yards is still 100 yards, but for me, it's like when he is the guy, whether it's Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis, like, you're not throwing the ball very much. Everyone in the stadium knows the ball is going to Henry. So if you could somehow keep him around 100 and not breaking off gigantic runs, I think you'd be kind of happy. Now, again, that means you can't give up a lot of passing yards. That means you have to shut down the passing attack. And if you can do that, then you have a shot. The Broncos, on the other hand, I look at a guy right now. I've talked about younger guys needing to step up, Greg Dulcich and company. I'm looking right at Courtland Sutton. I mean, that guy is, you know, he signed his long-term contract last year. He has to be somebody that can really step up for this team. And he said he was going to get going 2 weeks ago. He couldn't do it, and he dropped a wide-open pass that almost cost the Broncos big time. It would have been a first down. They end up getting the first down after it anyway, but I'm looking at Courtland Sutton. He has to be more of a special wide receiver. I kind of thought he would be at some point, that he'd be one of the guys that we'd be talking about, But right now, he's not special. He's not a special wide receiver. And you look at Tennessee, and as far as the passing attack, they are third in the NFL, third worst in the NFL as far as yards given up in the pass. They average giving up 276 yards per game. That's behind, or that's behind Pittsburgh and Atlanta for the worst. So this is where you really want to see Russell Wilson start to cook. 12:30 the time. We'll talk some Denver Nuggets next with Altitude TV's Katie Wingy. So don't go anywhere. But first, we need to get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. You're listening to The Hall Show on 1310 KFKA.
After the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Katie Wingy with Altitude TV, talking all things Denver Nuggets. Katie, thank you so much for jumping on and giving us some time today. I hear it was kind of a crazy flight for you guys the other night.
Yeah, thanks for having me, first and foremost. We flew from Indiana to Boston. We were supposed to get in around 12:30 Eastern time. I didn't hit my head on the pillow until 5:30 a.m. after that Indiana game. So we had all sorts of plane troubles. And the good news is it wasn't a back-to-back, so we had a full day to recover, and the guys are ready to go tonight.
Full day to recover. Back at it tonight. Should be a crazy matchup between the Nuggets and the Celtics. But let's go back, Katie, to that Pacers game. My goodness. I mean, what, down 18 at one point, this Nuggets team, with Joker and foul trouble throughout most of the game, found a way to get it done.
Yeah, they really did. And it was so fun to watch. I mean, anytime you have a comeback like that, obviously it takes a full team effort. And for Nikola Jokic, he knows that he can't put himself in that position. He knows that he has to be on the floor and available for this Denver Nuggets team. And so I think that's something that he learned and will play a little bit smarter moving forward in that regard. But it was great to see Aaron Gordon step up in the way that he did. A bunch of players made shots. KCP, I thought, made a couple really big ones for the Nuggets. So it speaks to the depth of this Denver Nuggets team. They have players that can step up if Jokic can't go.
Katie, we had too long of a conversation with my producer about who really is the peanut butter and jelly, the pieces of bread, the glass of milk, all of that. But I look at Aaron Gordon and I'm like, that guy's got to be something, because what he has been doing, I mean, he is necessary for the Nuggets. When he's playing in the paint like that, like a big man should, my goodness, he is a threat. And so I'm looking at him going, maybe he's the real peanut butter holding this thing together. I don't know.
I don't know if I would go that far. I think Denver's dynamic duo of Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic have sealed the deal in terms of peanut butter and jelly. But
okay, who's the is Aaron Gordon a piece of bread then, maybe? What do you think? Help us
out
here.
Sure, you can throw MPJ as a piece of bread and Aaron Gordon as a piece of bread.
Okay.
And then you talk about, you know, the top four guys of the core of this Nuggets team. But when you speak of Aaron Gordon, and I mean, one of the things that I think Nuggets fans love most about him is you look at who he was when he was in Orlando, and he knew that he had to be the go-to guy there. And now, playing with the Nuggets, he just loves the style of play that Denver adapts. This selfless basketball, this, you know, passing up good shots for great ones, this getting your teammates involved and making sure that you share the basketball. So he steps into that role and is just such a seamless fit. I think him being able to play that true power forward spot this season so far with a healthy Murray, with a healthy Michael Porter Jr., that has allowed him to really excel too, being in that dunker position, getting offensive rebounds, driving and being aggressive and being, you know, that really tough, nitty-gritty four that a lot of teams strive to have. So it's been great to see him kind of get back to those roots and still find ways to contribute, obviously, for the Nuggets.
We're talking to Katie Wingy on our First Advantage Hotline. And Katie, I go back to Gordon at the end of the season last year, the end of the playoffs, and Gordon said it, you know, in those press conferences. He said, I know what I need to do. I need to really own that paint and really can, you know, distribute the basketball, do those kind of things, be there for Joker. And I loved what I heard, but I thought, okay, well, that's all well and good until we see it. We have certainly seen more of an aggressive Aaron Gordon in the paint.
Yeah, it just goes back to what I was saying, you know, like he recognizes that when he's at that four spot, he's got shooters around him. So he's going to drive in and either kick it out to an open Jamal Murray, an open Michael Porter Jr., or he's going to be able to dunk or lay it in for an easy one. So, I mean, you see his field goal percentage, he's shooting 57% from the field, and I think that's a direct correlation to where he's getting shots on the floor. It's all around the rim. It's all in the paint. And when you play with Nikola Jokic, he's learned through the years or the year, however long he's been with the Nuggets, that if he moves about the basketball, he's going to be rewarded because of that. I've also loved the moments that we've gotten to see Nikola Jokic and Aaron Gordon in the two-man game. I don't think there are very many NBA teams that have a four and a five that can run pick and roll together and get something great out of it. So what a luxury for the Nuggets to have.
A lot of combinations for sure. And let's talk about the two-time MVP and Nikola Jokic. This might not be an MVP type year because he's spreading, you know, the ball is spread out so much because you have Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. You don't need Joker to be in the high 20s every single night. He can survive off scoring in the 20s, 21, 24, whatever. But when you look at the rest of the guys around him, that's the way the Joker would rather, right? I mean, he would rather have guys that he can distribute the basketball to other than having to score 30 points a night.
Yeah, he said, I mean, from the beginning, having an assist makes two people happy as opposed to just him scoring, which only makes one person happy. So I think he wants to be a playmaker and a distributor in that way. And we've seen him play with that style and that priority first. And I think with the pieces that he has around him at this point, we're only going to continue to see that. I will, however, argue with you. I don't think the NBA would allow him to be a three-time MVP. But Rick Carlisle did say before the Pacer game that he's doing things that a center has never done before. And the way that he started this season, he could be a three-time MVP if he keeps this up. So to hear that from an opposing coach, one that has, you know, a championship and has such a respectable resume, that was very eye-opening for me to hear of, like, okay, the league has taken notice and they recognize just how much of a threat he is, whether he has to do it by himself or whether he has all of his pieces around him.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate on my end as far as is he the best or one of the best players in the league. I just, and you said it with the NBA, I think they look at that point total. Okay, you know, who's getting that 30 plus? Who's in that range? Joker might just absolutely blow away some triple double numbers this year. But I just feel like whether it's fair or not, the NBA is always going to stare down that points. That's the number one thing we're looking at.
Yeah, you're not wrong in that. I think that they're looking for those superstar type players that are putting on shows. And Nikola Jokic just puts on a different kind of show. I think that's why it was so hard for so many people to swallow the pill of him winning another MVP and carrying this team in the way that he did. So, I mean, you look at, you know, tonight's opponent in the Boston Celtics, and if you want to talk about putting up big numbers, a player like Jason Tatum is averaging 31 and is playing, you know, the best basketball debatably of his career so far. Those are the type of players that you think of when you're like, okay, who are the guys that are, you know, showing off? Who are the guys that are drawing in the fans, NBA fans in general, and not just Celtics fans, and how are they performing?
Do you think, going over to Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., specifically Jamal, do you feel like he's ahead of schedule a little bit? Because, Katie, I thought maybe November would be a lot more growing pains. And I'm not saying he hasn't had those, but he's showing more and more flashes earlier than I thought of being that old school Jamal, maybe even back to bubble version of Jamal Murray.
So I don't think every injury is different, right? And every ACL injury is different in terms of recovery and comeback and mentality and comfortability and all of those things. When it comes, so what I'm saying in that is, like, there is really no schedule. Like, once you get physically cleared, it is so, I mean, some days are going to be good, some days are going to be bad, some days are going to be sore, some days you're going to feel really great, some days mentally you're not going to be all in, and some days you're going to feel like you're exactly who you used to be. There's a lot of give and take through this process, and it absolutely still is. Pleasantly surprised, too, with just how aggressive I've seen Murray to start this season. I thought, you know, and there were a couple games at the beginning where he wasn't necessarily coming off screens hard looking for his shot. He was looking to be more of a playmaker first. And I think the past two games, maybe even three games, we've seen Jamal go into, like, takeover Jamal mode in the third quarters or at different spurts of these games. And so to see those moments again has been so fun to watch. And I think it's been so fun for Murray to be back in that competitive spirit that he knows and loves. Because you when you're in those types of runs, you lose yourself in the game. And when you're injured or you're coming back from being injured, even in the back of your mind, you're thinking about, okay, how's my knee feel? okay, I'm back on the floor. Like, did that cut hurt? Was I a step slow on that? Should I have shot that? Oh, I didn't shoot that because my feet weren't set and my knee was kind of out of place. Like, little moments like that where you're thinking through things. For him to have spurts of games where he's just playing free and isn't thinking about anything at all, really, really good progress and great to see for Murray.
Katie Wingy joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Katie, a couple more for you, and then we'll let you get out of here. Looking at this matchup tonight, certainly a big one between the Boston Celtics. As you said, with Tatum's playing some of the best basketball of his career, a big test for Denver, but sitting at 8-3, knowing that November was full of all these crazy road trips, I mean, man, it just they look so good at this point. I'm not saying they're playing perfect. Obviously, they were down at one point to Indiana by 18. How far do you feel like this team can go based on what you're seeing on this, you know, after this 11th day of November?
That's such a funny question. I've actually been getting it kind of often lately, and I'm like, really? We're already talking about the end of the season?
It seems like they're so good.
What are we doing here? No, I think first and foremost, health is the most important thing, and managing that. Managing expectations with that, load management with that, all of those things. But in my mind, if they're all clicking on the same cylinder and things are rolling the way that they have been and they can figure out their defense, their road defense has been much better over the last handful of road games. So if they keep that going in the right direction, I have no reason to think that they can't come out of the West. I think that they absolutely would be competitive in that regard. But again, like, their defense has to stay solid. Their offense is going to be great. Like, that we see the talent that they have. They're going to be able to score the basketball. To me, it's like, okay, once you score, can you be disciplined defensively? Can you, you know, lock into game plan and knowing personnel and taking away things and making things difficult? So, I mean, I think Coach Malone at the beginning of the season said he'd love to be top five in both offense and defense. I think if the Nuggets are top five or top 10 in offense and defense, they'll put themselves in a pretty good position.
I'm always looking ahead, Katie. I got to be ready. I got to get my playoff tickets and all
of it. I can't believe we're already there. Like, yep, we're 11 games in, and we're talking about where they're going
to
finish.
I think, you know, we were so hungry to see Jamal and MPJ back with this group, but I was still kind of skeptical. Like, how long is it going to take for them to gel? And it just, to me, it seems like it's all ahead of where I thought. So, yeah, I'm thinking championship. It's time. Well, it's time to hoist the trophy.
That would be great. But it is like, you say, yes, they've gelled. Absolutely. But there's going to be some ups and downs to that gelling. That's just natural. I think that right now they're really well connected. And right now the chemistry, it looks really good. And everybody's making shots. I mean, they're shooting the best percentage from the field and from the three-point line in the entire NBA. And so I think to temper expectations just a little bit, they're not going to be like this the entire season. That would be tremendous if they did. But there's going to be some highs, there's going to be some lows, and it's just about staying the course.
Yeah, no question. Katie, love what you do. Huge fan of yours. I loved it in the broadcast the other night. Mr. Marlowe said, hey, it's nervous time. And you said, nervous time? This is fun time. I can't remember exactly, but
yeah.
I was feeling it. I was into it at that point. So you do such a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Katie. We'll talk to you soon. Katie Wingy of Altitude TV. She got a couple of disagreements with me there. Yeah, no way Joker is going to be an MVP this year. There's just no way. It's not happening. There is 0.0 chance. Percentile.
I feel like I've heard that before.
Not from me.
From some people.
Not from me. I said Joker would be the MVP last year, and I said he would be the MVP the year before that. He will not be the MVP this year. His numbers are not there. They won't be there.
Brady, we're only 11 games in.
11 games in, and you're already 11 games behind Luka and Tatum. I mean, these guys are averaging 30 points per game. Joker won't average 30 points per game. He will be a triple-double machine, but you have Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. taking away those points. It's about the points, Angel. That's what it is. Fair or unfair, Joker could be the best player in the league. He will not win MVP again. Well, he might win it again, but he ain't winning it back to back to back. Not happening. And that's not enough. You know me. I'm a Joker guy. It's just this is the way the NBA is going to view it. Who's averaging 30? Okay, those are the first guys that we're going to see, that we're going to talk about. And then everybody else. It's probably going to be Luka. It's probably going to be Luka Doncic that wins this thing. Mark my words, Angel. 12:48 the time. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
She fell in love with this crazy machine. She leaned all the way.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, this is Dalton Reiser with the Denver Broncos, left guard number 66. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. Angel, we got to do this. We haven't done it yet. We got to get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. All right. My good story is, well, the Abs. The Abs got the dub last night. They beat the Nashville Predators and Mikko Rantanen with two goals and one assist. He was a stud. Logan O'Connor with two goals. And Nathan MacKinnon is an assist machine. And the Avs get another victory. Three in a row for them. And all the injuries, everything that they've been dealing with, somehow, some way, they continue. They're finding a way to do this thing. Three in a row for them. So that was a big win, especially when we were wondering, how good can this team be with the injuries continuing to mount up? The bad for me is the Bills' Josh Allen situation. Like, he didn't practice. They're uncertain about his return. I mean, do you really? I mean, they play the Vikings this weekend. It's an NFC game. You've only lost, what, two games on the season? I'm not risking it with this guy. Because if you put him in with this elbow situation, he could really jack it up and be out for a lot longer than just a week or two.
Yeah, he didn't participate in practice the last 2 days, but today he wasn't spotted at media availability, but then he was spotted leaving the field when the media came in.
Interesting. So,
mind games from McDermott.
Mind games from McDermott. The ugly for me, sad story. Angel and I are both kind of nerdy. You know, we like our superhero stuff. The voice of Batman, iconic Kevin Conroy, passed away at the age of 66. Kevin Conroy, I mean, you want to have that debate, who was the best Batman? He is certainly right there in the mix.
No, you are not my father. I am not a disgrace. I am vengeance. I am the night. I am Batman.
I mean, who doesn't love Kevin Conroy voicing Batman? So when you have that debate, Christian Bale or Ben Affleck or whatever, Kevin Conroy, not everybody that didn't grow up watching cartoons says Kevin Conroy's name first. He's right up there, man.
Absolutely. He's played the voice of the Batman in almost every animated feature that he's in. He did the Arkham Knight games, if you ever played those.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But just an iconic voice for an iconic character, and Kevin Conroy definitely impacted so many people with his rendition of the Caped Crusader. So rest in peace, Kevin.
Yeah, that was a tough one. It's a bummer for sure. 12:56 the time. When we come back, we're going to get into Football Friday. I'm going to have Cody Tucker from 7220sports.com on with me. He's our Wyoming Cowboys insider. We're going to bust into more border war talk, all of that. Cannot wait. I mean, Rams, Cowboys? Do we see the Rams start to, maybe they can finish the season strong? We've talked about this November. November's being just absolutely awful for Colorado State, and you know, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth throughout the entire offseason. Can Jay Norvell change that trend and perhaps start bringing some positives back into CSU as soon as maybe this weekend? Find a way to win the bronze boot, reclaim the bronze boot. And I think you're going to have a lot of Rams fans pretty happy with the current situation. Final hour coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.